You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You know, I want to share a story with you that I believe is going to really, really help some of you. Now, I was born in England, raised in Australia, and now I live in America, so I feel like I've got the best of all cultures. I've just taken a bit of that, the humour from the British, that's about all there is, to take. And I can say that because I'm British. And the culture from Australia and the work ethic and the, I don't know, I'm getting lots of good things. The what? The awesomeness. Yeah, the high driving level of the American psyche that says, I can do anything. I'm born to do anything. And I love that. So we're putting them all together. Anyway, one of the things that I have always loved is to pray. I've always been somebody who has loved to just chat to God. Even as a little girl, just spending time with God and praying and reading my Bible has been an important part of my daily routine. So years ago, when my oldest boy was about 8 and the other one was 6, and I was walking up and down my dining space and just chatting to God. I didn't have a prayer list. I didn't have, you know, an intercessory list of things to pray for or anything like that. It was one day where I was just kind of chatting to God, just saying, hey, God, I regularly pray for my husband. I regularly pray for my kids. I've done that every day that my kids have been born. And I was just walking up and down praying, you know, God, bless Ashley and, you know, help him to break through the opposition that he's feeling right now and just do it, you know, praying over his life and bless him and create in him just a bigger capacity for the call I know you've got on his life. And I hear this, Jane, it's almost an audible voice. It's booming inside my head. Jane, what do you want? And I'm like, oh man, perhaps I'm not praying right, you know. Father, I pray, make him into a man of God. Because sometimes God speaks to me like that and I'm thinking, he wants me to be more specific. Okay, obviously he's not getting it. Jane, what do you want? God's kind of woken up, hasn't had his coffee yet. I need to help him out. Okay, God, what I'm meaning, God, is I know the call of God on his life and I see who he is now and I want you to just accelerate. That's a wife's prayer right there. Accelerate him into the plan you have for him because what I see isn't quite there yet. Is that right, God? Jane, what do you want? God, I pray for Mark that you'll make him a man of God, make him a man of character because I can't see much at the moment and I'm really praying that character will develop and I know the call of God's on his life. And Father, I pray you'll just do something in that young boy's life as he's at school. Jane, what do you want? Nathan? I pray for Nathan, the church. God, I pray for the church. I thank you for the church you've given us. And I pray, Lord, as we're going through transitions with staff. I mean, God was so exasperated with me. He practically screamed at me the last time. But he changed the emphasis. I wasn't getting it. It wasn't him that didn't have his coffee. It was me that hadn't had my coffee. He screamed this emphasis at me. Jane, what do you want? And all of a sudden, I just stopped. And I almost fell to my knees sobbing. Because I realized what God was saying. He's saying, I do not want you to come in this intimate time that you've created between you and I and talk about other people all the time. I actually want to know what's in your heart. I want to know what you want. And you know, on this Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day, by the way, on this Valentine's Day, God wants to know what's in your heart. He wants to hear the needs and the cry of your heart because that's what intimacy is all about. I had a great prayer life, but God is saying to me, Jane, I understand that there's all those people and you're always praying for your kids. You're You're always praying for the church. You're always praying for so-and-so who's asked you to pray. You're always praying for your husband. But I want you to ask me for something. And as I stood there, I began to sob and sob, not because I was so grateful that God had asked me, but because I actually was completely fractured, as we say in Australia. Do you say that here? I was completely fractured because I did not know what I wanted. I had no idea because I wasn't used to asking God for anything for me. And I stood there and I started to sob and to sob and to sob, and God was just silent, waiting for me. You see, I knew why I couldn't ask. My mind was transported to years before. As a little girl sitting in the back of a station wagon, I would have been about 8 years old. And I'm sitting in the back of a station wagon, no air conditioning, a secondhand car. We're having an outback adventure in Australia, as you do. And we're driving and driving, and we've been driving for about 3 hours. We're jammed in the back, four of us little girls, jammed in the back, sweating, hot, thirsty. We go through a little town called Hawker. I'll never forget its name. And there's a sandwich board on the side of the road. And I look at the sandwich board as we're coming up to it, and it says ice creams, half a kilometer. I am like, oh. My sisters all nudge each other and me down the line and say, Jane, ask Dad for an ice cream. Now, I thought that was a completely smart, sensible thing to do. I thought, wow, yeah. So I just blurt out straight away, Dad, can we have an ice cream? And this was his response. And his response was burned into my spirit as a little girl. And that's why I couldn't ask God that day in my dining room for anything. My father's response was this, no, because you've asked me, you can't have it. I was going to get you an ice cream, but now because you've asked, you'll have to wait. Now, before you think my father was a monster, he was a wonderful man. He just did not have the emotional intelligence from his parents. He had a shocking upbringing, and my father was a great provider. He wanted to provide for me without me having to ask. And it irritated him when I asked for things because it made him feel like, why hadn't I thought about that and got it for her before she asked? Does that make sense? And so that's where he was coming from. But all I heard was, no, because you've asked, you can't have it. Now that burned into my spirit, and go all the way back, all the way far forward into the future in my dining room that day when I'm walking up and down and God is saying, Jane, what do you want? I realize I have pushed aside any idea of what I want because I don't want to ask for it, because I'm too scared to get a response from God that says, no, because you've asked me, Jane, don't you think I know as Almighty God what you need? Don't you think, Jane, if I think you're worthy to get that thing, you'll get it? Don't you think, Jane, that once you do everything right, then you're going to get what you ask for? But until then, until you get it right, until you're worthy enough, you're not going to get it? That's what I'd heard from God subconsciously in my spirit all my life. And I had been a prayer warrior for other people. People come to me all from all over the church and beyond. They still do. I get Facebook messages, pray for me, Pastor Jane. Pray for me because God listens to my prayers for them. But God said, I want our relationship to change. And on this Valentine's Day, God wants his relationship with you to change. He wants it to go from acquaintance to intimacy. He wants it to go from a business relationship to a personal relationship. He wants it to go from being somebody who you feel is judging you to somebody who enjoys your company and delights in you and delights to give you the desires of your heart. You see, I knew why I couldn't ask. Because my confidence was in me. Now, you might think that's strange, But I had no confidence in me. But because my confidence was in me, and I was so small, my problems or the things I was asking God for seemed huge. But if my confidence truly was in God, who is huge, who is incredible, the things that I would ask for would seem small. And that's how you know where your confidence is. Is your confidence in you, or is your confidence in God when you're praying and asking Him for the things that you need? Is there something in your past? Are there words spoken over you? Is there abuse? Is there a dysfunctional relationship with your parents? Is there some emotional thing that happened to you that actually keeps you small today? Because I was as small as that little girl, that little 8-year-old girl sitting on the back seat of my father's station wagon the day God asked me, "Jane, what do you want?" I was only the size of that girl. And God said to me, "Come on, I need you to grow up. I've got so much more. I've got America for you. I've got church planting. I've got campuses across the world. If you can't ask me for anything now, I'm not going to be able to give you the huge future that I have for you." And God says the same thing to you. And I want to ask you this morning, what is keeping you small? What is keeping you restricted? What is keeping you focused on you rather than on God? But don't feel so bad, because I want to read to you a scripture that really helped me. This is the Apostle Paul. All right, one of the giants of faith in the Bible. Church planter, apostle, extraordinaire, amazing, amazing guy. Wrote half the New Testament. This is his words. I want to read it to you because it's gonna encourage you. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. This is him talking to the Corinthian church. "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result of going through those things, as a result of the difficulty, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God." I love that. Learned to rely on God. That means that the Apostle Paul, reliance on God didn't come naturally to him. He had to learn it. And if the Apostle Paul's got to learn reliance on God, doesn't that make you feel a bit better? It's like, okay, the Apostle Paul had to learn reliance on God. I don't feel so bad. I need to learn it, because it doesn't come naturally because of the sin nature in us. We are egocentric. And God says, "I want you to learn to rely on me. I need you to learn." And I love the rest of this verse. It says, "We stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God." Only on God. Only on God who raises the dead. I love how he snuck that in. That's like the hardest thing that we can comprehend that God could do, to raise the dead. He's like, we learn to rely on God who, by the way, raises the dead. So, you know, if you're struggling to rely on him, he just raises the dead. He can raise the dead easily. So he says, "We stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." You see, you and I have got to stop relying on ourselves, and we've got to lean in and learn how to rely on God. That means every single day saying to God, "I'm relying on you today." Writing it on our mirrors, writing it on in our car somewhere, writing it at our desk at work. "God, I'm relying on you. God, my confidence is in you. I refuse to put my confidence in me anymore, because I'm so small that when I put my confidence in me, I look at the problems and think, wow, I could never ask God for that. But when I have confidence in God, who is so huge, who raises the dead, I look at my problems and I think, really? That's so easy for God. And God wants to make that shift in our heads when we're praying and when we're seeking God for things, because He wants us to be bigger than who we are now. 1 John 5:14 says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." I want to just break that down a bit. The first part says, if we ask. You see, this is the confidence we can have in approaching God for anything, the Bible says. That if we ask, there's so many people that won't ask. They're like my sisters in the back of that car. They've got good elbows. They want to ask the pastor to ask God. They want to ask their friend to ask God. They want to ask anybody, somebody, someone on television. They'll write in with it, send their $5. Can you ask God for me? Why do they do that? Because God, Jesus Christ, came to save every single one of us so that we could have access to God, that we might come in boldly, Hebrews 10 says, that we might come before the throne of God boldly. It's talking about confidence. Hebrews 10:35, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, "Therefore, don't fling or throw away your fearless confidence, because it has a great reward." Hebrews 10:35, write that down. Do not throw away your confidence, because it has a great reward. The reward is not talking about your confidence. He's saying, don't throw away your confidence in God to rescue you. Your confidence in God who raises the dead. Your confidence in God to do the thing that you ask of Him. The confidence in God that will give you what you need and what you want. The confidence in God as a Father who loves you, who wants intimacy with you, who wants you to ask Him for things without feeling ashamed or without feeling unworthy or without feeling like you've got to measure up first and then He'll give it to you. That if we ask, we've got to learn to ask for ourselves. You know, that day, walking up and down in my dining room, I was just weeping and weeping, and Ashley came home and he said, "What's wrong?" He thought someone had died in the family or something. I literally was a mess. And he's like, "What's wrong?" And I told him, and he's like, "This is like a Solomon moment." You know, and he was like overawed. And he's like, "What are you going to ask for?" And he's looking at me with huge eyes like, "Come on, baby, this is the best thing. Like, don't blow this now. Like, you know, forget about Solomon. You're already wise." He actually said that to me. "You're already really wise. Like, don't ask for wisdom." And he actually said, we're walking up and down, and he goes, "What about a boat?" He's a waterman. I'm like, I don't want a boat. If God asks you what you want, you can ask Him for a boat. And you know, I walked up and down that. You're going to laugh. I hate telling this part of the story, because I didn't even tell the first service. So you guys are just secrets. It's just between you and me, all right? So I walked up and down for so long. And Ashley's got his arm around me. I mean, he's praying his own prayers. "Father, house, boat, car, new car, Mercedes Benz." He's kind of trying to get those into my head, but discreet enough not to say anything. And he's walking up and down with me. And then all of a sudden I go, "Huh." And he's like, "What? What is it? What is it?" And I said, "I want some real jewelry." Yeah, that was about his response as well. Yeah, like, wow. You see, I grew up really poor. I never, ever had any real jewelry. Like, I'm talking, I had stainless steel rings, not even silver ones. Does that make sense? So I had to find them in thrift stores or, you know, fashion them out of can things. And yeah, I had no jewelry whatsoever, and I love jewelry. And so my husband, my poor husband, the look on his face, he thinks jewelry is an absolute waste of money. It may be an Australian male thing. Anyway, I was like, and so Ashley just, you know, he had this complete, the face of a loser kind of thing. I've lost it. I cannot believe she's asking for jewelry. So he was sensitive enough to God, though. He said, come on, you've got to ask for it. And he made me ask. He made me ask. Because it says, if we ask. If we ask. Because I said to him, God knows. He heard me say it to you just then. That's what I actually said to him. God already knows because he heard me say it to you just then. And Ashley said, no, he asked you, what do you want? You have to ask for the jewelry. So do you know how stupid I felt? I did some more sobbing. Dear God, you know, like 50 sobs between one word. And I finally got out. But do you know how stupid I felt praying? Dear God, could I please have some real jewelry? That must be the lamest prayer I've ever prayed in my entire life, but I tell you, it's one of the most powerful. It's one of the most powerful because in that moment, my umbilical cord that attached me to my father, Clifford Matthew Smith, and made me small because of those words was cut. And as soon as I asked, because I couldn't ask him, but as soon as I asked my heavenly father, I became more of a son, a daughter actually, because I'm a female, more of a daughter, and you'll become more of a son or a daughter when you ask God. He says this is a confidence that we can have in him that if we ask, so you've got to ask. It's not about asking for huge things. Huge people ask for things. You see, sons and daughters can ask for things. Not in my earthly family, but in my heavenly family. Then it says, anything according to his will. Now here is where people go, see, I knew there was a catch. How do you know whether you're asking, what you're asking for is God's will? And people get so tripped up. I'm telling you, if you're a believer and you're living according to the word of God, you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you're obeying what's written in the Bible and not from a law book, rule book thing. And this is where we get tripped up. If you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, when I married my husband Ashley, I did not get handed a list of rules. So you need to obey these rules in order to be in relationship with me, in order to now live with me. I expect these rules, we're going to put them up on the wall, 1 to 20, and if you break any of them, you are no longer my wife. I probably would have lasted 2 minutes. He would have lasted even less. No. As we grew in relationship together, he understood I didn't like him leaving his underpants and socks on the floor. He understood that I wanted him to hang up his wet towels. He understood all of those things. I understood he didn't like me to be late every single time we left the house. All of those things. And what did I do? I changed them because I love him. I changed my behavior. We've been married 30 years this year. We hardly ever have an argument. We know each other so well, inside and out. It's like running a three-legged race. We are tied together, and we just in rhythm and sync with what he likes, and he's in rhythm and sync with what I like, and we know each other. We want to please each other, and we love each other. That's what your relationship with God should be like. It's not hard to find God's will when you're tied to him in relationship. Do you know, people think that God's will's like a tightrope. You know, okay, I think I'm in God's will. You hear people say, I think I'm out of God's will. I think I'm out of God's will now. You know, like God's will is a 2-inch rope that they're tightroping on, and because they moved one step, they're out of God's will. I want to explain to you, God's will's like this stage. It's a big open field. And they did an experiment with children, young children, and they put a whole lot of young children in a field that did not have boundaries in it. And the young children, they were told to play. You can play in this field. And the young children looked around and they all huddled in the middle together. And not one of them actually ran out any further than just a short way from the center. Then they took the same children and they put a fence around that field. And then they stood back and watched. And those children explored every single corner of the field. God's will is like that field. The fence is like His word. He actually has put boundaries in place so that you feel secure enough to explore the every corner of His will. He has got an incredible plan for your life. His will is broad and expansive for you. And He wants you to function in it. He wants you to be happy in it. He wants you to be delighted in it. He wants to give you the delights of your heart, the needs and the wants of your heart. There are times when God has given me ridiculous stuff. I needed some shoes once, and I was like, I really wanted these trendy shoes. You know how shoes fashion changes? You would know. I'm joking. I'm speaking to him because he's a man of shoe man. Anyway, you know, when shoe fashion changes and you've got shoes, but you really need that pair that look a certain way. Well, I needed that, but we were poor. We had no money. And so I went into a thrift store. I was looking for something else. I went to the back of that thrift store. They had one pair of shoes, the exact kind of shoes I wanted in my size. And I put them on, paid for them, and walked out of the store. When I got them home and wore them for the first day, I realized why they were in the thrift store. They squeaked. Literally. It was hilarious. People are like, your shoes are squeaking. I said, no, they're speaking. Because God knows the desires of my heart. Doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. I'm exploring the bounds of His will in relationship. And when you do that, everything that He wants to give you, you'll find in there. So according to His will, technology. So finding the will of God implies that you have lost it. You know, when people say, I've got to find the will of God, or that it's obscure, it's not task orientated, it's relationship based. It's relationship based. So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, that is a problem in this day and age. People don't hear. In America, I think it's worse. We came to America and we ask for things, or we're talking and people have a glazed over. They hear so much information. There's information overload. There's people overload. There's detail overload. Your paperwork is like, you know, the mail comes, it's like this, and you've got to sort it through and you've got to fill out forms and you've got to... I'm like, wow. I feel like Australians are remedial, you know. Tick, lick, stamp, send. You know, we're not like, but in America, the overload of information and everything is crazy. And so, you know, when we talk to people, sometimes we don't feel like they hear us. I used to play a game with my two older boys, and Pastor Ashley, he's notorious for getting in front of the television and you cannot hear a thing. You can ask him to do stuff. He can even say yes to stuff, but he has got no idea and swears he never heard it. And it drives us mad, all three of us. So we'd play a game. I'd give them a prize. The first one to get Dad's attention properly gets the prize. And so we would come up with, you know, Nathan would say, Nathan's rather creative, Dad, the aliens have surrounded the house and we're held hostage and prisoner. And there's one trying to bash the front door down. And he would like not even bat an eyelid, not hear a thing, watching the telly. Sometimes he'd be like, shh, shh. And Mark would come in, he'd be like, broke my arm. He'd be on the floor crying and screaming. And Ashley would just be like, you'll be all right. Go and see Mum. You know, I used to always win because there's only two ways you can get a man's attention. One of them I won't mention in church, but the other one was to ask for money. Honey, I need $1,000. What? And the boys are like, it's not fair. You always get the prize. We may not be sure that other people hear us, but God says in Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their distress and trouble. God hears us when we call. He hears us before we call, but He wants us to call. He wants us to ask. He wants us. You know, a girl came to the end of the service after I preached this message and she said, can you pray for me? I can't ask God for something. And I said, I wanted to say, are you for real? No, but I put my arm around her and I just started this praying. And then I said, God wants you to ask now. And she went, what? And I said, yep, He wants you to ask. And it was amazing. I saw this. She started sobbing and asking. And she said, it's so hard. And I said, I know. Come on. Once you ask, you'll get it. God wants that. It's a sign of relationship. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us. I want to tell you a short story to finish. I have my middle child, Nathan, is the cup's half empty person. His first words were, I can't. I'm not joking. He had spent his entire childhood saying, I can't, it's too hard, I can never do it. So it came to his birthday and he wanted an electric car for his birthday, a yellow one. And his birthday was in October. He started in February saying to me, Mum, I want this electric car for my birthday. I want to make sure you get the right one. He cut pictures out for me. He told me the name of it. He wrote it down. He's dyslexic. I couldn't understand it, but it didn't matter. I had all the pictures, all those funny little notes. I was like, yes, absolutely, I will get that for you. And it just went on and on and on. So I have a mischievous side. I decided I was just gonna play with him. So in June, it came on special in the supermarket. So I went and bought it and put it up. In about July, August, he starts on again. Mum, I need that thing for my birthday. Everyone at school's got one. I really, really want it. And don't forget, it has to be a yellow one, he starts on. I said, honey, I'm so sorry. I've already bought your Christmas present, your birthday present. Which was the truth. I had already bought it. I'm not lying to him. And his face, he's just like, what? No, I can't believe. I've been telling you all year, you don't love me. If you loved me, you would get this for me. He just went on and on and on about it. And I just let him go. I said, you just have to get what you get. Now, I'm sorry. And he said, on my birthday, I'm not getting out of bed. His birthday came. We snuck in the middle of the night, wrapped his gift, put it on the end of the bed. We knocked on the door. And in the morning and opened the door and said, happy birthday. And he shoved his sheet straight over his head. He said, I'm not getting out of bed. It's not worth it. You didn't even get me what I wanted. I can't believe I told you all year and you didn't get. I said, well, we've put your present on the end of your bed when you're ready. So we shut the door and then we open it really quietly and we watch this. Still with a blanket over his head. And he's measuring the size of the present with his foot. Then he puts his foot underneath it and gives it a little lift to see how heavy it is. And then slowly he puts the thing down and he shot up out of bed. It's about the size. He rips the paper off and then he realizes we're watching and he said, you told me you didn't get it. I said, no, I told you I'd already bought it and I put it up in the wardrobe. It just wasn't your birthday yet. And we are like that with God. We ask God for things and sometimes we think He hasn't heard us. Sometimes we think, you know, we're not worthy, whatever it is. sometimes we think he doesn't love us, but I'm telling you, there are times where God has your gift waiting for you up in the wardrobe. It's just not your birthday yet. And I want to just encourage you to ask God for things. I want to encourage you to cut the umbilical cord that is attaching you to the thing that is making you small, that's making you think small, that's making you ask small, and actually do something today that is going to cause you to become a son and daughter of God in a new way, in a revolutionary way, where you're free to run into His arms and say, Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I need this. You know, in our office, our kids are constantly welcome, and we have an open door policy. It doesn't matter what's going on. We've raised 3 kids in the ministry, and they're all serving God. And we just said, you know what? Our kids mean everything to us, and they need to know that when they come into our office, it doesn't matter if a board meeting's going on, that meeting will stop, and we will hug them and embrace them. And they usually just want to steal a soda out of the fridge. But we don't care, because we get the hug anyway, because that's what kids do. Kids can ask. And God wants to shift your paradigm this morning. He wants to shift it. And I want us to stand to our feet. And you know, I'm a great believer in responding to the Word of God. And this has been my own personal journey. And I'm telling you, God said to me, Jane, if you cannot even ask for jewelry, how can you ask for houses? How can you ask for nations? How can you ask for campuses? How can you ask for the things that I have in your future? And God wants you today. Some of you need to press and keep on that journey, but God wants some of you today to begin that journey, to break that umbilical cord that's holding you back and take you into a place where you're thrown into the arms and you rely and lean on and put your confidence in a God that raises the dead. So come on, we're going to sing, and I want you to come down the front. And as you walk down the front, I want you to imagine yourself cutting that umbilical cord and saying, now I'm no longer part of this world. I'm actually going to be part of your world, God. You are my Father, and not the things that have held me back for so long. So come, you come now as we sing.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.